Hi, it's Dr. Weitz. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Private Medical Practice Academy. Today, I'm so lucky to have Omer Khatib with me. We're going to have a wonderful discussion about how you can actually integrate a med tech rep into your practice and help leverage it to grow your practice. So Omer helps med tech companies grow sales and drive product adoption using social media. But actually, one of the things that I love about Omer is his extensive experience actually being a med tech rep. So Omer, so glad to have you here today. Let me have you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely, Dr. Weitz. It's such a pleasure to be back on. And, you know, I feel like we were long overdue for this reunion. We've had a lot of great podcast episodes in the past and other shows. And so it's an honor to be on your show. I know that you don't just have anybody on for the hell of it. So I'm very honored to be here and help out your listeners. But a quick background on me in terms of what I do. So you are absolutely correct. So what I do today is I work with medtech companies to essentially grow sales and drive product adoption using social media. And the reason why that is because I feel that aside from the fact that this is what scales, it's what's persuasive, but more importantly, it's what's best for the provider, right? My background, I grew up with a physician in my household. My father was a surgeon, had a private practice, so I was very much attuned to seeing reps come in and everything. Myself, I went to medical school down in Texas for a few years before deciding to leave and pursue a career in medical technology. And for the last 10 years, I spent it starting off, as they say, carrying the bags. So I was a sales rep at a robotics company for a couple years. Then I moved over into marketing, and I did real marketing. Most marketing in med device companies is actually just product management. They don't think about product adoption too much. I mean, they do, but not the way that I do. And so I think about marketing as sales at scale. So I did that for the last 10 years. And then just recently, I started my own company called Khatib & Co. And there are two entities that I have as a part of it. One is the State of MedTech, which we have to have you on as a guest. That's my media company. We have CMEs that are unlocked via our partners at CMFI. So we do live webinars. We do podcasts on a lot of things in business and medicine. And the other side is my program called the Medical Sales Network Effects Program, which essentially trains CEOs, sales reps, VPs on how do you sell digitally. So that in a nutshell is what I do.
Well, but Omer, I really want to have a conversation today more about the reps who come to our offices. I mean, I think most physicians would love it if their only interaction was via social media with pharmaceutical reps and device reps. But in reality, the thing that I think most docs are missing is that those reps can actually help you grow your practice. And so, you know, I know from personal experience, I know from talking to lots of docs that people think, oh my God, they come in the middle of the clinic. They demand to be there. They just walk to the back. They never ask my staff, can they come in? They don't really show me anything that's new or different that is helpful. They hand me a paper from their company that's basically propaganda, and they're wasting my time. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's where a lot of docs come from. But I can tell you from personal experience, they can be very useful in growing your practice, either in terms of helping provide great customer service, or if in the case of a pharmaceutical rep, helping you figure out how to get free drugs for their patients, for your patients, et cetera. So what I thought you and I could talk about today is really how to empower the physician who's listening to this podcast to get the most out of that rep, because they want you to use their product, because obviously that's how they make money, but you need to get something out of them from that relationship. And so how do we help the doc talk to that rep?
So that's a great question. So I'm going to start with your average physician who may not be, let's say, very active on social media, and then give some tips as to what they can do, right, to really leverage the rep. So let's start with the first thing. what the hell is the rep trying to accomplish by showing up to the office? Which, by the way, most reps don't understand. Like, if I got interrupted once or twice a day by someone physically showing up to my door to sell me something, I might murder somebody by the end of the week. Physicians, on average, get anywhere from 14 to 16 people showing up at the office, accounting, legal services, et cetera, right? And so it's a real pain. So the first thing, and again, I have to compliment you because you teach people the business medicine. And you mentioned this actually on a show that we were on together a while back, which is find ways to schedule a specific time of the week that reps are able to show up. It's like, hey, this is the time. Like, we are welcoming you. You don't have to guess. This is the time. Don't come outside of these times. So that's step number one. Now let's talk about the reps who actually come to the office and who are, let's say, doing business with you. How do you leverage them? The first thing that I would say is let them know what you are interested in, right? And that's why I encourage physicians to use things such as social media, specifically LinkedIn. The reason why I say LinkedIn is a lot more academic than the other platforms. It's a lot more positive and authoritative, right? It's not full of garbage. Every time I get on LinkedIn, no matter what I read, it's value adding. Like, my career gets better, you know? And so as a physician, if you go on LinkedIn and, let's say, post even some articles or engage with content that you're interested in, at least the people in my program, what they're being taught is go and find out what the physician's interested in and learn about that and go and help them with that for free. For example, it could be marketing, could be revenue cycle management, could be something, right? So the first thing I would say is the reps who are coming to you, let's say you're an orthopedic surgeon and you're using some new technology and the reps are coming. Tell the reps, hey, you know, We want to get better about patient marketing and we want to do patient events, but we've just never done them well in the past. Can you please do some research and figure out where the hospital catchment areas are? Where's a good location for us to do this at? What time, et cetera? Like, give them assignments, right? Because these reps, right? I'm going to just tell you right now, and I'm going to get I'm notorious for saying things that piss off medtech companies because I have a, believe it or not, my customers are medtech companies, but the people who I really like serving the most are physicians. You know, these companies don't think, hey, let's spend money to take our reps and make them world-class at customer service. They don't spend a lot of time thinking about that, right? So you as a doctor have to think, how do I leverage these people? Give them an assignment and have them go research and figure stuff out and then report back to you, right? That's the first thing I would say. And let me stop there because I can kind of ramble off on these topics. So please interrupt me.
I'm smiling because I think that most of the reps that I have interacted with don't have that knowledge base themselves.
And yeah, you're right.
The thing that always amazes me is they actually can get reports from their companies. Because what I think most docs don't think about is those companies are tracking everything. Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk about drug companies. They know exactly how many scripts you write of a certain class of drug, of not only their drug, but of other drugs. They know the prescribing history of everybody in the community. All right. They know which docs are busy. They know who of your competitors are busy. Mm-hmm. Okay. But those reports tend to be proprietary, and the average rep who comes to your door may or may not have access to that and or be willing to share it unless you specifically ask them for it.
That's so true. And what I would say is pharma and med device, the difference I like to tell people is that pharma is like med device on steroids because they have more money than God. Like, they just have a lot of money. And with med device companies, I mean, you're right. These companies have access to these certain reports. There's certain databases like H1 or Definitive Healthcare. So let's say you're a surgeon. Tell your rep, hey, I don't care how you find out. Go talk to your company. Go see what databases you have. Probably marketing has access to these databases. I want you to find out which primary care physician in my area sees the most of this kind of patient or does this kind of procedure. Like, I want a list to know who's doing what, who do I have to go and develop a relationship with. And then you're going to help me figure out what that physician's into so that they can, you know, have a good reason to refer me more business. If you don't tell the reps directly to do this, they're not going to do it.
Well, so I have a follow-up to that because, you know, I'll give you my own example with implanting spinal cord stimulators. You say to the rep, okay, can you tell me how many patients are out there who have diabetes? Because one of the indications is a diabetic neuropathy. I'd like to go out and target the endocrinologist. And, you know, depending on which company you use, and I'll be blunt, I ended up using only Boston Scientific because the level of customer service, both to me, the client, but also the patient, the client, and understand that that especially with things like implanted devices, you really have two customers, right? You have the physician and then you have the patient. But be that as it may, you know, they were able to actually get that information, tell us which endocrinologist had the busiest practice in town, so we could then go target them. My follow-up question, though, is, okay, so they come back with this information. Can the physician actually get that rep to help them to market? Can the rep go to an office that is not in their quote-unquote territory? Because, for example, you know, if I'm a pain specialist and you're selling a device that gets that a pain specialist would use, can you go to, let's say, another specialty that's not going to use your device but will refer to me and help me market to them?
Yeah. And here's yeah, absolutely. And here's why I say yes. It's because at the end of the day, these reps, you know, their ability to drive product adoption determines whether their family's going to eat that month, right? And so if they have to do it, they're going to find a way to do it. Now, their company might say, oh, we don't like you to do that and everything, but you know what? Screw the company. Because at the end of the day, the company isn't going to help you. Like, the thing that drives me crazy, and actually there's an orthopedic surgeon. The orthopedic surgeons are really funny on Instagram, I got to tell you. There's one who posted this funny Instagram reel of him getting a call from the reps, and he was like, hey, man, like, I totally get it. You're trying to hit your number in Q4, but I can't just, like, magically make more procedures appear out of thin air. Right? Because that's the call that a surgeon gets. The rep will say, hey, I need to hit my number. Can we do some more procedures? Perfectly fine. Guess what you should do? As a rep, you should say, all right, there is this, you know, city or metropolitan area that's like 30 miles away. Who can I go figure out what offices are there? Maybe they can refer. Like, the rep needs to go and do these things. You want those cases? Okay, go get them. Because otherwise, the doctor doesn't have a number to hit. Right.
Well, but I think a lot of physicians end up feeling pressured and compromised because they do get that call. And, you know, if you are an ethical physician who's only doing things that are medically necessary.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't make cases that don't exist.
Exactly. Right?
And I'm not going to, you know, operate on somebody or implant somebody just because I need to hit a number, whether it's my number or the rep's number.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely correct, and no physician should. So what I would do is if I was the physician, I'd say, hey, I would, and this is the way I like to always frame things around the benefit of helping more patients. So I'm like, hey, I'd love to hit your number. Your device is great. Let's help more patients. Where can we find more patients? That's what I would put it back on the rep, you know?
So do those reps, I'm going to ask you a loaded question. Do those reps actually have money for marketing on my behalf? Can, you know, in today's day and age, physicians don't necessarily have money to market. You know, can they sponsor a talk and, or can they, you know, what can they do in terms of helping to market on my behalf?
A lot of times they don't, because the way the company ends up saying, sorry, I'm going to share how the sausage is made. The way these companies talk, and I totally understand, they'll agree, is that if we give marketing dollars to XYZ doctor, other doctors are going to want it. We can't afford it. We're going to piss people off. I totally get that. However, what the rep does have is their own time. So when I was, so my doctors loved me. Actually, when I went into marketing, one doctor in particular, one surgeon, was his practice was really pissed off because I did a good job. The reason why is that I was at a startup. We didn't have marketing dollars, but anything I can do extra that was pretty much determined on me, I did it. For example, I helped them set up their Facebook page. I printed out some flyers and I was like, I'm going to go all over town and drop these off at referring practices. I'm going to post these in the, you know, back then, like coffee shops, they had a little hallway with a little bulletin board. It's like, hey, if you experience XYZ pain, schedule a free consult with Dr. So-and-so. Like, no one's going to stop me from doing that. So I went ahead and did it, right? And what I would say is that the reps are extremely resourceful. These are very smart, hardworking people. Medical sales doesn't get any harder than that. I don't care what you're selling. It doesn't get any harder than that. So if they're motivated and if they're encouraged by the physician, they'll do it. Another great example is, and again, I'm trying to teach people how to do this in my course, which this is not difficult to do. The surgeon can be like, okay, why don't you come and with your iPhone, you're going to shoot a video of me. I'm going to explain this new procedure. You're going to take that video. You go figure out how to edit it. And I want you to send that, right, to every referring practice. Here's another one. There's a program called Vidyard, V-I-D-Y-A-R-D, okay? The physician can tell the rep, hey, this Vidyard thing costs like 15, 20 bucks a month. Start an account. Let's make a presentation together. Okay, we make a presentation about my practice and everything. This presentation is 5 minutes. I want you, the rep, to record a presentation. And let's say there's 10 referring practices. Every referring practice, you're going to record a new presentation. Hey, Dr. John Smith, my name is Omar Khatib. I work with Dr. So-and-so. I wanted to give you this quick presentation to educate you about this one thing we're seeing with this patient population and share with you how Dr. So-and-so is using this technology to make things better. Goes to the presentation. If you have any patients who would be a fit for this consult, please send them to, you know, janetsmith@whateverpractice.com, right? And I want you to send that to like 10 different surgeons or referring practices. So now the rep is creating personalized videos. They're going out to other referring practices, educating them about the pathology, the diagnosis, et cetera, what to look for, and hey, send them our way. And now you can start tracking things. Now you're teaching the rep to think for themselves and actually do stuff for the practice without the company being involved. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, Omar, but I think that there are a couple of follow-ups to that. Number one, when you were doing this with this orthopedic surgeon, how many other orthopedic surgeons were you also covering? Because one of the things that I've heard a lot is, oh, they're your competition. So the rep tends to walk this fine line between marketing for you and marketing for everybody else because there are, you know, multiple other orthopedists in town. And, you know, they want, maybe you're not the biggest practice. Maybe you're one doc and the ortho group down the street is 20 docs. You want to get that rep to work for you, but they're looking at the big dollars down the road.
Right. Yeah, right. That's a great point. So what I would say is as a physician, leverage yourself and just say, hey, look, you know, I have a lot of room for growth here. You know, this other practice isn't going to give you that kind of love, right? I'll get more exclusive with you, but you need to help me. Like everything's a negotiation, right? I'm Middle Eastern, and so we have a saying, everything's negotiable. And so, you know, as a surgeon, you know, again, I keep using surgeons. I know that, you know, a lot of primary care is, but we'll use surgery. Just as a surgeon, one negotiating chip that I love to use is whatever's free to me but valuable to somebody else, I'm going to use it. So as a surgeon, say, hey, look, go and do this for me. I know that you have other surgeons that you cover, but if you do this for me and you do a really good job, at the end of the quarter, regardless of whether we get more patients or not, I'll go on your LinkedIn. I'm going to write a glowing recommendation for you. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to take a photo with you and the technology, because every rep wants this kind of BS content. I'm going to take a picture with you, with my arm around you, holding you like you're my second child, and we'll be with the technology. And I'll write this post on LinkedIn. I'll tag you. I'll tag the company and be like, this is one of the best reps that I have. Here's why this person's great. And I won't mention the things you do extra. I'm just going to mention that you do great customer service. Because now you're giving something that is incentivizing the rep. And they're like, yeah, nobody else gets that. And you know what? This quarter has not been good for me. But if my boss sees something like that, they're not going to fire me. You know? So that's, you have to think what's valuable to the rep, you know?
When they're probably not going to get that from the big group that has 20 docs, right?
Probably not. Yeah.
So let me put a different spin on that and ask, you know, well, I know the answer to the question. Does just simply being nice to the rep get you that, or do you really specifically have to ask them for stuff? Because I think people would be willing to be nice. I think asking the rep for something would feel like you're trading. And I understand the concept of negotiation, but can we put a less overt spin on that?
We can definitely we can put a less overt spin on it. But as you, and again, this is why I'm a big fan of your content, a big fan of your show. Medicine is a business. The sooner that you come to terms with that and understand, like, hey, whether you like the rules of the game or not is not the point. You have to learn how to play these rules. This is how the world works. And so you're right. Maybe putting a less overt spin on it, but just like in a relationship. So like I joke with my wife, like the other night, she mentioned something about me doing something specific for her. I said, listen, you can hint at these things, but my mind is all over the place. I'm thinking about so many different things at once. Sometimes I'm not going to put one and one together. I need you to literally tell me, hey, I need you to do this. And so as a physician, you're only going to frustrate yourself if you think, oh, you know what? I'm going to be really nice to the rep. I'm going to do this and that. And then magically, with all these things they're worried about, they're going to magically think of me and then somehow come to this conclusion. You have to be very direct. So maybe a less overt spin on this would be like, hey, help me with this. At the end of the quarter, I would love to have a great reason to maybe, you know, do a nice post about this, you know, however, and you can say this, however I can help you. Here's the other thing. This is a negotiation. This is a sales tactic. Never guess. Like, I love persuasion. I can't read minds. When you're talking to the rep, ask them, say, hey, listen, I want to also understand what's important to you. Obviously, you want me to do more cases. I get that. Outside of that, you, Jessica, you, John, what are two or three really important things that if I did them for you, it would make you like really, really happy? And forget about doing more cases. Just you selfishly. What would it be? Right? They might say, yeah, you know, I've been trying to get into this other territory across the state. I don't know anybody there. Do you know anybody? You're like, yeah, I think I do, actually. I can make a call. That was free for you. That gives you a lot of leverage with the rep, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason I said less overt is because I wholeheartedly agree. You have to ask for what you want. They're not going to simply, nobody for that matter, is simply going to do it because you're nice to them and they're mind readers and interpret being nice as, oh, you know, I need something from you. They'll just think either you're nice, or more importantly, they'll think they're doing a great job, even though they're doing a crappy job.
Absolutely. And I got a special tactic. This is like, I spent time reviewing things before I come on your show, because this is a no BS show. So I had to come with some good stuff. Here's a $1 million idea for your listeners. Okay. To get that, you know, as we mentioned before, not all companies will spend marketing dollars, but everything's negotiable, right? Here's what I recommend to your listeners. Definitely be on LinkedIn. Again, Instagram, Twitter, all these are important, but the business and of medicine, it really lives on LinkedIn. Start developing some content, just, you know, develop some kind of following. Let's say, again, surgeon. talk to the rep and say, hey, while I'm doing surgery, and of course, make it HIPAA compliant, et cetera, can you, take my cell phone, take some photos of me, take some video, right? And develop some content, post that content, start developing some traction. Because then if you grow your following on LinkedIn, and let's say the orthopedic surgeons do a great job of this, they'll take a picture of an x-ray or some case and say, here's the case, just like in medical school, here's the case, here's how it presented, what we did, et cetera. What would you do? And then other surgeons will comment. You do that for a few weeks, and the company starts saying, oh, Dr. Janet has got a good following of surgeons on LinkedIn. Then when you go and say, hey, go talk to your company about sponsoring my next patient event, and they'll say, we can't do, specific things for a doctor. Then you can say, well, but look at all these surgeons who follow me. And when we do that patient event, I'll be able to post about it. So all these other surgeons are going to be learning more about your company. That gives you more leverage. That gives you a much better shot. It's not enough just to be doing a lot of cases. It's just not,
Well, and I think that that's where people kind of misunderstand, because they think, well, I'm doing cases. First of all, as an individual physician, you may or may not have any sense of where you fall in the pecking order of number of cases or number of scripts or number of anything relative to your peers, unless somebody tells you. I will tell you that even when I was a small practice of two docs, I was surprised one day to find out that we still did more than the big guy or the bigger guy down the street. So in your home, in your office, you don't really have a sense of what else is happening in the community. So you may think, hey, either I'm a big fish or I'm a little fish, but you don't really have that data. So simply to your point, simply doing cases, simply writing scripts is in and of itself not enough. And it's certainly not enough to get that person's, that rep's attention. Okay. You can have a conversation with them about the science behind the thing. A lot of times that leads to, oh, wow, you're really actually knowledgeable and I'm learning something from you. And that's how ultimately you get asked to be a speaker for that company. Okay. Because the rep goes, wait, I need to bring my manager back. And all of a sudden the regional manager comes, and all of a sudden the guy above him comes. The other thing that I'd like us to touch on is the fact that recruiting physicians can be very difficult, especially depending on where your market and your specialty. The reps are extraordinarily good at helping you to find docs. And I think that that's an area that a lot of physicians don't really harness that. Because in training, if in residency, in fellowship, if you're doing some procedure that requires a device, or you are, in an academic center and writing a whole bunch of a certain drug and you're interacting with the drug reps who are coming, they will then say, oh, where are you moving? Or where do you want to move? And they call the rep in the territory that you want to go to. Or you, as the doctor who owns the practice, says, we're looking to bring on another, in my case, pain specialist. Do you know, can you put out the word and say, we're looking for a pain specialist starting in July of, 2023, for example? They have a database where they can send out, Boston Scientific did this for us almost every year, send out an email to their database of reps saying, have a practice in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, looking for a pain specialist starting July 2023. And that way, number one, I've had reps who've called and said, oh, this guy's going to interview with you, but he's like a terrible, terrible proceduralist. Okay, thank you for the heads up. We're not going to hire that person. Or we've had, somebody call my rep and say, whatever you do, pay this guy. You need to get this person to come here. They're program director, because, you can call for a reference and the program director says, oh, they're great.
Another form of propaganda, right?
another form of propaganda. Or, you know, somebody's working in a different practice, you call their colleagues and they go, oh yeah, they're wonderful, only to find out that the reason that they are wonderful is they couldn't wait to get that person out of their practice.
Right? Yeah, it happens.
But the reps will tell you the truth, because you know what? That rep wants your practice to get another doctor who's going to come and use their device or to write more scripts or whatever. So, you know, yes, they want more volume. They don't, on some level, and maybe I'm wrong, they don't really care whether the volume is coming from you individually because they get you more referrals, or because you bring in another doc who can do more cases and use their device.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I would say is, if you think about your average rep, for a company, and again, I'm generalizing here, but usually they're anywhere from their 20s to their 30s. I know that there's some reps who are older than that, but just in general, the 20 to the 30s. So a lot of them are young professionals. So they're looking to learn. You know, another kind of subtle way of getting what you want without overtly asking for it is, again, let's just say it's recruiting. Talk to the rep. If it's a rep that you could see that they have potential, they seem to have this like enthusiasm, you know, like we all know that rep, right? They have a good enthusiasm, good energy. Like you know that if you come like, hey, you know, X, something happened, can you go and help? Like they'll do it. You can say, hey, you know, we're trying to get better by recruiting for the practice, but the old way, you know, like, you know, we might send out an email or anything. Can you help me and just do a little research, you know, aside from finding a position to fill like this, what are some ways like to recruit, like, you know, these tech companies, how do they recruit, right? Without, let's say, using a recruiter, like what can we do? And so if it's a smart rep, they're going to go do all this research, like leverage somebody else to use their time to figure stuff out for you and report back. The one thing that doctors specifically, and I'm going to pick on surgeons specifically for this, that they try and do is that because medicine is so hard and you get through medical school and training, like nothing's harder than that. But when you do that, you think for some reason you can do anything. And maybe you could, but you don't have time to do everything. Leverage somebody else to go spend their time and figure this out, right? Because then, like, you know, the reps feeling feels really good because they're learning something, they're developing things, they're developing skill set. You know, maybe they start coordinating with your office, they start teaching your office admin certain things. So now, like, you just got something of value for free and everybody's happy with versus like the old way, which is like a surgeon or a doctor's like, I'll go figure it out. Like, what are you going to figure out? Like the random 10, 15 minutes you have between cases, like just doesn't work very well.
Well, but talking about giving things for free, talk about how do you brainwash people? One of the things that I learned early on is for that rep who's truly, you know, that up and coming star, invite them to spend a day in clinic with you.
Oh, that's a good tip.
You know, yes, obviously you need to ask your patients and say, hey, I have Casey following me around today from Boston Scientific. Would you mind if she comes into the exam room with me? But number one, they learn your style. They come away with an increased knowledge about sort of how do you communicate with patients? What are you telling patients? Especially if it's a patient where they may potentially be getting the device that this rep sells. Okay. What is that kind of relationship with the patient? And ultimately, you know, they come away, A, having learned some medicine, B, learning about you, understanding, you know, wow, you're a great empathetic physician. That way, when they meet people in the community, they go, you know, I spent a day with Dr. Weitz and I, you know, I saw blah, 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 blah. And so it's a way to actually form a true relationship with these people and one where they want to then take that message of how you practice forward.
Exactly. No, that's 100% correct. And just like you gave me another, you remind me of another idea. You know, the rep when they're there, especially like they're in a case, a lot of times they're just standing around. They're not doing anything. I can tell you right now that most of these reps, like if they're in your procedure, they finish their part and they're just on their phone. It's on rare occasion they're like doing something productive, right? What I would say is give them your phone, right? For those, I hear this all the time with surgeons, like, you know, I want to be more active on LinkedIn. I just don't have time. You have the time. You just have to think of your time differently. Give your phone to the rep. Okay. And they're going to mess up a few times, but that's okay. Give your phone to the rep. And while you're in the procedure, if there's a picture you want them to take, have them take the picture, right? Or a video, and then dictate to them, okay, open my LinkedIn, go on there. You're going to say, you know, the three most important things that every surgeon needs to know about this procedure. And you're going to write down these things, add these hashtags, add this photo. Okay. Posted. Great. Thank you. Like, you can do that 2-3 times a week and start building a following on LinkedIn. And here's the other thing. You're not only nurturing your peer group, you're also potentially connecting, you know, connect with fellows and everything so that you're helping your recruiting, you know, so people who are in fellowship, like I have a few more friends of mine who are out of medical school or they're finishing fellowship. They're getting more on LinkedIn because that's where you go for jobs, right? They'll start seeing your content and a fellow might be like, yeah, I was thinking about working in a big city. I want to go work for this lady down, you know, down here. I really like the way she runs her practice, right? And it's a signaling event where not just the company that whose product you use, but other companies, let's say a startup, they start seeing more of your content and be like, oh, Dr. Janet down in Louisiana, she's puts out this amazing content. She's really good. Why don't we approach her to see if she wants to use our device? Maybe she'll consult with us. Maybe we should give her equity. What I want at the end of the day for physicians, I want them to have options. Do you have to go consult for industry? No. Do you have to do advisory stuff? No, you don't. But you know what? I would love nothing more than physicians to say, hey, I started using LinkedIn more. I started leveraging my reps. And at any time I want, I open my inbox, I have all these opportunities I could say yes or no to. That's the best thing that can happen.
See, I'm not even worried about what other opportunities. I'm more concerned with, on a day-to-day basis in a private practice, how do we take that rep and make them bring value to the practice so that when I take time out to interact with them, I feel like it's a value add to me, mm-hmm. not only that I'm doing something for them. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think just coming back to, let's say, being in the OR, okay, and having surgeons, a lot of times, especially if it's a good rep, they have been in a lot of ORs with a lot of docs, and they see many different styles. And we would all love to think that every case goes perfectly, okay? That is not the truth, right? We all get to a hiccup at some point in some case, okay? And, you know, as you said, you know, I'm married to a surgeon. Surgeons in particular have this attitude of, I trained for so long, I know all this stuff, and so I'm supposed to know everything, so I'm never going to ask for help. Terrible idea, because a lot of times that rep saw Dr. Smith last week get into the same pickle that you are in right now. And exactly. Maybe they have a device that's slightly smaller that will fit better. Or maybe they have an introducer that will help you thread that catheter. Or maybe they have some trick. But if you come at them with the attitude of, I'm the doctor, I'm God, and I'm not going to ask your advice. Your only purpose in this operating room is to provide the device, and then that's it. You've lost a huge opportunity.
A huge thing, one.
You know, but even for my non-surgeons, it's the same thing with drugs. If you have a new drug and all of a sudden you see that, you know, people are getting, you have a disproportionate number of patients who now have edema in their leg, but you've done the research and it's not in any of the, you know, reports online. You can't find it. It's not in the journals. And you mention it to the drug rep and they go, oh, yeah, we've seen a whole bunch of that lately. You know, the drug just came out. It isn't in the literature yet. But yeah, doctors are taking patients off this drug because it causes, you know, hiccups or it causes edema or causes whatever, right?
Absolutely.
But if you're not communicating and you kind of, you know, I think that doctors sometimes treat reps as feeble idiots, which is the opposite of, you know, what you're saying, which is they're really very smart, you know, motivated people. And that's been my experience, is that they are very smart and motivated. If you harness them, if you treat them like feeble idiots, they behave like feeble idiots.
Exactly. And you know, what I would say, persuasion is very interesting because a lot of times when you're like in negotiation, there's a few books back here behind me on negotiations with that an FBI agent wrote, right? And one of the things is that if you tell people who you want them to be, they magically become that person. So when you're negotiating, if you say, you know, I know you're a very fair and reasonable person, they become fair and reasonable. If you tell a rep, like, hey, can you go and figure this out? Look, I know you're very, like, you're a sharp and clever person. You'll figure this out. They'll become that person. Are a lot of reps feeble idiots, just absolutely waste of space? Yeah. Yeah, there are. However, anybody can be turned around. Because if you encourage that person and you give them that idea that they're capable people, with the right coaching and encouragement, they can become that, right? Not every rep is like this. The other thing I'll tell you, and again, I think the theme of this show is like dirty secrets of the industry. You know, you mentioned the surgeon who is a know-it-all. I'll tell you, Dr. Weitz, I've been doing this for a long time. I've interacted with a lot of surgeons, and I'm going to use this term because I need it to hurt for whoever's listening. The biggest losers I've ever met who are surgeons are the ones who just act like they know everything. And as a rep and as a marketing manager, when we go to a conference and that type of surgeon's coming to the booth, like we all talk about it. We joke about the person, like, oh, like, look, here he comes. It's like, oh, hey, Dr. So-and-so. Like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, cool. You know, how's everything going? Like we people talk, word gets around. And that is the biggest miss as a surgeon, because when you act like a know-it-all, when you act like you're so smart, so guess what happens? On average, a surgeon might have, let's say, 3 to 5 reps for different things. These people are going all over the country, all over the state, interacting with different groups, getting all this. They're like centers of data information. At the end of the day, in business, the people who have the best intel, they win. It's all about data. If you don't give them that sense of, hey, you can come to me and tell me anything and everything I want to know, they're not going to. You can get ahead of trends. You can hear from 5 different reps, hey, you know what? I saw this happening. And then you say, you know what? I think this is happening in the market, or this is what's going on. You know, and the only time that happens, Dr. Weitz, is as a surgeon, again, you can't hint at it. You have to be a little bit overt sometimes and do things like, there's a doctor, he's out of Tyler, Texas, Dr. Crutchfield. He's a neurosurgeon. He's a great, if Dr. Crutchfield is listening, I hope you're doing well, sir. I'll never forget this neurosurgeon, very powerful, very well respected. In the middle of the case, or at the end of the case, he looks at me and opens his hand. He's like, hey, Omar, thank you so much for covering this case. What can we do better? The team, myself, is there something? And guess what I did? I pulled out my laptop. I'm like, look, here are all the things that I made notes of. Here's what I'm seeing other people do. If you tell the reps, hey, how can I get better? What can we do? Then not only do they do that, but things that you're not even thinking about, because you become like an open door policy, they'll come and say, hey, doctor, I don't know if you knew this, but I saw this other doctor doing this thing. Did you try that in your practice? No, I did it. The best organizations, best entrepreneurs, that's how they function. It's the same thing with surgeons.
Well, I'm smiling because this is exactly how I interacted with reps. And to your point, find out all sorts of stuff that they, first of all, they make you technically better. Okay. I mean, I learned so much from my reps in terms of, hey, you know, I saw so-and-so in Florida when I went to cover a case do it this way and their leads don't move. Maybe you want to consider this. I mean, little things, but to your point, trends that are coming, changes in reimbursement across the country, because it comes in waves. But to put a point on what you're saying, and I think we'll end there. One of my most humbling or increased in awareness experiences was one day at Starbucks in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. where there were five reps from five different companies, pharmaceutical companies, med tech companies, sitting and having coffee and talking about the doctors in the community. Mm-hmm. And who's a jerk and who's not a jerk. And what you realize is that that communication is not limited to within that one med tech company and its regions across the country. It's not limited to only med tech companies that are catering to, let's say, orthopedic surgeons. It's across all reps because you know what? They don't actually have an office 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. Their office is Starbucks.
Yep.
And if you go to Starbucks, you will see them with their laptops, all right, updating their reports, doing whatever. And they all know each other. Maybe this is, I'm showing how small a town Baton Rouge actually is, but they all know each other. They all sit around together and they all gossip.
Yep.
Right. And you 100%. don't want to be that doc because you know what? You may get a bad reputation with a referral source, not from your rep, but from your reps telling their rep for something that's completely unrelated to what you ever do, that you're a jerk.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I tell people this all the time, like when somebody's trying to get new technology into a hospital, there are two groups, or I like to call them tribes, that know everything about that surgeon, the nurses and the reps. And the way they function is actually very similar. And what you said about reps is very true because they don't have an office. They're on an island by themselves. And so tribally, they're going to gravitate with other people who, you know, engage with you, other reps, pharma, et cetera. And this does happen. And again, I think, you know, not letting people guess, like, you know, for you, when you teach people the business of medicine, and again, I need to like point this out, your audience knows this, but it wasn't by accident that you had the success that you had with your practice, with the hospitals and clinics you opened up and your exit event. That didn't happen by accident. Part of it is because you're a savvy business person with a capital B, right? In terms of thinking, what can we do to improve? What other systems can we have? And then leveraging the people that are around you, right? So as a physician, what I would recommend is like, look at your practice, look at yourself and say, what can I, if I had $1 million, what would I do to improve? And it's like, okay, maybe I improve my professional brand. Maybe our revenue cycle management isn't that great. Maybe our workflows can be better, right? Make that list, send it out don't do an e-blast, but send it to each rep individual and be like, hey, I just wanted to let you know, these are the things that I came up with that I'm trying to work on and improve in the practice. If you have an interest in any of these things or you happen to know about it, I would welcome your help. If you do, let me know. And if some of them, one of them's like, yeah, you know what, I'm really good, or I've always wanted to learn about marketing. Great. Take that off the list and be like, I'm going to sign that to you. You go figure that out. Let me know. We'll have a meeting at the end of the week. And now you have four or five reps all looking into different things, right? And you as a business owner, you're getting all this information, all these interesting insights. And it's very exciting because it literally takes one little lever to pull that you didn't know that was there. And all of a sudden your business improves, you know, that's what it takes, but you can't do this by yourself, you know?
I think that that is such an important point. Like that needs 20,000 exclamation marks because I think a lot of docs are petrified of sharing any information about their practice, particularly with a rep, because they're afraid the competition may find out something about them. Okay.
That is just
ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. Okay? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your practice, you know, even if it's a huge practice. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Okay. The only person you should ever be competing with is yourself. All right.
100%.
And if you never ask for help, if you keep everything within, to your point, Omar, number one, there are not enough hours in the day to do everything. Number two, you can't do everything well. All right. And the other thing is that when you are that closed in, people don't want to help you because they don't feel like they are part of a team. All right. And if you can bring that group of reps into your team, you actually have much more, you're much more to gain in terms of advocates for your practice than you're going to lose in terms of the perceived competition.
100%. And, you know, what I would say, I want to touch on two quick things. Like, one is, let's talk about like the worst nightmare for any surgeon. The competition finds out or learns about how you'd like to do marketing. Let's just say that happened. Like your BS, like online campaign or however you do patient events, like your secret sauce. Oh, the competition finds out about it. You know what the best part about that? Like, I love when anybody that I don't really even think about as competition, but somebody does what I'm doing. It's a great day for me because guess what? Now I have somebody trying the same thing I'm doing. And a lot of times I look at it, I'm like, that's actually interesting. I never thought about doing that, doing it that way. I'm going to do that. That's how you should think as a business person. It's like, oh, they did that. Like, perfect example. Don't take my advice. How about one of the wealthiest families on planet Earth, the Waltons. So Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, he was notorious for doing this. He would go to Kmart, he would go to Sears, and he would do competition would steal from him. Then he would go and see what they're doing. Like, he would measure the distance between the odds, be like, oh, this is actually really smart. And he would just steal stuff. You know, that's what you should do.
And there is enough business for all of you. All you have to do is drive down the road, and you will see that more often than not, CVS is across the street from Walgreens. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great point.
There's a gas station on one corner and on the opposite corner and going in the opposite direction, right? It's because, yes, there's enough business and the competition does not affect your business. And to your point, if anything, it helps draw attention. Oh, wait, this is a good thing, you know, and we should do this too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And you said something, you had a really a lot of pearls of wisdom on this, and that's why I always enjoy listening to your show. You said something very interesting earlier, and I want to point that out, which is making the rep feel part of the team, right? It's not enough just like having them in the OR, but, you know, have them help you, reward them. You know, like, I'll never forget the best surgeons, something as little as like, you know, maybe they'll take me to lunch. Maybe, I can't remember who it was, but one of them actually, bought me a book. I should remember this. They bought me like little things like that really made me feel good as a rep. I'm like, wow, like I'm not only am I doing a good job, but this person respects me. They like me. And very often, whether the rep works for a really big company or a small one, the rep cannot help but have a stronger allegiance and loyalty to you than their own company. Because even though their company pays them, you have the relationship. And they'll come and tell you, like, hey, the company's getting ready to do this. I don't agree with it. You know, or you know, they'll tell you these things, right?
But you don't even have to buy a book or take somebody out to lunch. Those are very nice things. And absolutely, that's a plus. But know when their birthday is and wish them a happy birthday. If you know they have a family, ask how are your kids?
Okay? Absolutely.
Be a real person and treat them like a real person. Right? The other things, the things like, you know, the lunch, they invite them to the practice's Christmas party, things like that are nice perks, but they don't make up for the day-to-day, you know, just chattiness. And it takes 2 seconds.
It's 100% true. And especially when it's genuine and you mean it, it really means, you know, when I was a kid, you know how I learned about medical sales reps? Like, if you're not in medicine, you have no idea that this whole thing exists. I learned about it because I was shadowing my father in the hospital. And there was a rep, I think, from Covidian. And my dad said, you know, he introduced me. He's like, oh, this is my son. And I was like, maybe 13 or 14 years old. This is back in the day when there was no rep track. So you can just walk in the hospital randomly, like, oh, my dad's Dr. So-and-so. I'm going to go watch a case. You know, my dad said, oh, this is so-and-so. He's a representative with Covidian. this guy, he's one of the best, Like my dad had this funny way of doing it. And the guy's like, oh, Dr. Kiddie. He's like, no. He's like, this guy, he's the best. He really knows his stuff. We always have successful cases. Like, and he just went on for like a solid minute just talking about this guy. Like it was his own kid or something. And I could see like how much it meant to that person. That took like a minute. How much more loyalty did he buy for that?
No, absolutely. And he said it to you, a 13-year-old. All right. So the guy knew that he wasn't trying to blow smoke because your dad would have no reason to tell to go on and on to tell a 13-year-old. Right. And so, yeah, it's that real emotion, that real interaction that buys that loyalty.
Absolutely.
On that note, Omar, because you and I could be here for the next 3 days having this conversation.
I know. That's why we have to have a reunion.
So much.
Oh, no. It's
absolutely.
No, thank you. It was such an honor. And again, like, very grateful for somebody like you existing within the medical community. I wish there were more Sandy Whiteses out there. But, you know, until that happens, I just hope you continue to reach more physicians and help them understand and leverage this whole idea of like the business of medicine to be better doctors, better business people. So it's been a pleasure. It really has.
Thank you. Please be sure to sign up for my newsletter below. I'll be sending you tips on how to start a practice, grow a practice, and then add multiple services so that you can maximize your revenue.